I only mention that because Michael Kopsik's our next guest, and you're from the area too, Mike, huh?
I am. Yeah. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, for sure. You're a personal injury lawyer, and you're kind of doing it on your own right now, huh?
Yes. Have my own firm, the law offices of Michael W. Kopsik, and I've been going since November of 2022, but been an attorney in the city for almost 10 years now.
You're from the Lake Bluff area back there now. You're kind of doing the same thing I'm doing, where you grew up and now you're living a couple blocks away from the home you grew up in. That's fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's awesome to see all my friends and their kids and their starting families now. So we're kind of the next generation coming in.
What interests you in law? Is it a family thing or is it something you've always wanted to do?
Yeah, well, my dad's an attorney. He's up in Waukegan in Lake County as well. And I've been around for a while. I've seen him. I've seen his colleagues. And we had a very similar skill set. We're competitive. we're maybe aggressive, maybe too much at times in argument.
That's what I want for a lawyer, though.
Right. Yeah. And so I just kind of knew that it was something that was made for my skill set. And that's what I ultimately chose.
I mentioned you went to Clemson for your undergrad, came right back to Chicago for your JD, though, right?
I did. Yeah. John Marshall Law School.
Great law school.
Yeah. Yeah. They produce trial-ready attorneys. So I'm very proud alumnus and of Clemson and John Marshall alike.
Is that one of the reasons why you went into personal injury? Because you might get some trial experience? Is that where you eat? Is that what you love the most?
100%. I started in criminal in law school. I had a 7-Eleven license to try criminal cases while in law school. But criminal law was tough to get into. It's hyper competitive. And personal injury law was kind of a great second choice for me because it provided me the opportunity to remain super competitive and get as many jury trials as I could. And that's exactly what I did from the get-go, and I'm so happy that I chose that path.
Doesn't mean you don't look at settlement as options, but if you end up going to a jury, you're in there to fight.
That's exactly right. It's, you know, I am a trial lawyer at heart, and I love going to trial, and it's almost unfortunate that I don't get the opportunity as much because we do have to settle cases, right? And we don't want to take the risk all the time.
Right.
But when I get there, you know, I feel like I'm coming out of the tunnel for a college football game, you know. Not that I ever experienced that, but that's what it would feel like.
Yeah, that's what you would think it would feel, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
In just more of a, you know, nerdy way, but in a good way.
Exactly.
You remind me a little bit of Mike Leonard. I mean, I think you like to fight for the little guy, don't you?
100%. Yeah, everybody needs help. And a lot of people, one of the reasons I love personal injury is because you don't necessarily have to pay for us, right, up front. You don't have the expense. We don't send you a bill if you give us a call and ask our opinion. So I get to help people that might not be able to afford services right away. And yeah, that's the little guy. I like to be on their side. Absolutely.
When people hear the phrase personal injury lawyer, I think sometimes because of certain people that yell at you through commercial on TV, there is a little bit of a misnomer about what that is. And that sounds like, ooh, you're just in it to try and get money from people in their worst moments. And the personal injury lawyers that come on this program, and I feel like you're one of them, you are there for people on their worst days, through some of their worst moments, and I imagine, I don't want to speak for you, but that's something that drives you.
Yeah, without question, and no offense to the people on the billboards, but there's plenty of us out there, right? And it is a very competitive field, but something that, you know, I take pride in is representing someone when they are at their lowest point possibly, when they're hurt, when they're in the hospital and physical therapy, and I'm out there fighting for them when they don't really have the ability to, and that's what personal injury law gives me the opportunity to do.
Yeah, I think that we've gotten to this point, and maybe it's right. Rightfully so, people think we're a little over litigious in the United States. Maybe there's an argument to be made there, but it doesn't mean that people that bring cases against people aren't legitimately hurt and don't legitimately deserve a reconciliation for what happened, right?
Right. Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, you could make a joke. There's plenty of stereotypes out there that some people do file cases and they're not exactly hurt, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe they have a neck strain or neck sprain. Those are not cases that I specialize in. I specialize in grievous injuries and very serious injuries, and those people need their day in court, and that's what I'm here for.
Right. And I imagine that, look, I think a lot of people sometimes they don't even know if they have a case. I imagine you are welcome to talk to someone and say, and you're not going to lead them in a path where Hey, I don't think you have one here. You're not going to just take them on as a client if you don't think you're going to win.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, I certainly welcome honest conversations because I don't want to take a case that I don't think I can be successful with. And I think similarly, the client doesn't want to take a case and take the time to work with me for a long time when it's ultimately not going to work out. So, yeah, I certainly welcome any calls and inquiries. But ultimately, you know, I take winning cases and that's what we do.
I think with personal injury, too, the reality of the situation is if you don't have a lawyer who is competent, who is fighting for you, the other side does, right? Like you are, if it's an accident with a truck, I mean, there's a company behind that. If it's an accident, perhaps in a rideshare, there might be a company behind that that's going to come to their defense. Well, you better have someone in your corner.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially in Chicago, there's high-powered defense firms that are all over the place. Typically, the bigger the insurance policy, the more money that defense attorney is going to be paid. Generally speaking, the more experienced and intelligent they're going to be. So you need someone with trial experience. You need someone who's been in the big firm to situation against defense attorneys who are very, very, very astute. And that's what I think I've been able to do with my experience.
You've spent years in big firms before you started on your own in November of 2022. Why the pivot?
Yeah, the time was right. You know, big firm gave me the opportunity to interact with all types of clients to get the jury trial experience like I was talking about. Uh-huh. But what I think that the big firms lack at times is client communication and really special attention to the person, because that's ultimately what this is all about. It's the individual, it's the case, and it's not just about their case. It's about their family. It's about their job. It's about lost income, right? So I've always felt that I was someone who really cares about people and really cares about helping the best that I possibly can. And that's like the individual attention that I'm able to give in my new role.
If someone thinks, I got to go to a big firm because they got a team, but you know, what's this? But they have a team, perhaps. I'm sure you have people that help out too, but are you getting that one-on-one? Are you lost in the mix of a bunch of clients? What's your counter to that?
Yeah, yeah, that's a great point. And don't get me wrong, there are so many good law firms out there,
100%. And
especially the ones that I was lucky enough to work for. But I think, like you said, sometimes you can get lost in the shuffle, right? When you call my office, I pick up the phone. When there's a deposition in your case, I'm the attorney in the conference room. My secretary is not picking up the phone. My associate is not getting passed off the case to do work and to learn how to be an attorney. You've got an experienced attorney. You've got me. And that's really one of the strengths that I'm able to provide.
Okay, let's get into some details, but we got to take a break first. The number you want people to reach you at, 847-807-8695. I've got that right?
That's correct.
And in radio, we say it twice, 847-807-8695. You're out of the north suburbs. Are you primarily that where your clients are? Or can it go around west suburbs, Chicago too?
Well, as you know, I've traveled far away from Chicago up to Lake Bluff, but I still have plenty of cases down here. As a matter of fact, probably the majority of my cases as of right now are in Chicago, but an office in Lake Bluff, office in Waukegan in the Lake County area, but take cases all over the collar counties of Chicago.
Great. We're talking with attorney Michael Kopczyk. Do you want me to add the W in there? Since is your dad's name Mike too?
No, it's Richard.
Oh, okay,
it's
Richard. Okay. Yeah. So Michael Kopczyk. We'll get more into what the thing that we teased, which I think is interesting, is if you're in an accident that at any way involves ride sharing. That's one area we'll discuss. We'll take your questions too. 312-981-7200. More with Michael Kopczyk after this on WGN. All right, let's get legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association on WGN, broadcasting out of Studio A. Michael Kopczyk joins us, personal injury lawyer. What do you think of the view today?
Oh my gosh. Does not get any better than this. Aaron Water Show weekend.
I'm bummed you just missed a giant plane flying through. You saw the trails afterwards.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you get distracted, that's okay.
It's easy to get distracted. The office here in the studio is so nice.
We're very lucky. Yeah, we're right where the river meets the lake, and we're looking out. I'm looking backwards right now, and a lot of boats enjoying the Air and Water Show. It's going on for another 37 minutes, and hey, that's what our show is as well, till 3 o'clock. All right, we're talking about personal injury cases, and let's dive into incidents involving rideshare companies, Uber, Lyft. I know there's other smaller ones out there, primarily Uber and Lyft, though. Are accidents involving Uber and Lyft common, and are they rising in occurrences?
Yeah, absolutely. They're as common as kind of any other automobile injury, automobile case, and especially as more people are becoming Uber drivers, it's becoming and Lyft drivers, it's becoming easier to kind of get that job. There are certainly more cars that are getting in accidents as well.
Right, and so when we talk about incidents involving this and where you get involved, is it you representing the passengers, the drivers, the driver of the other vehicle, or any and all?
Yeah, it's any and all. It's a little bit less common to represent the Uber driver or the Lyft driver themselves, but I have done that before. Mm-hmm. But typically what we see in Chicago are bicyclists and pedestrians that get hit by Uber drivers, where it's typically the rideshare driver's fault.
Do you think part of that is because they're pulling over so much off to the side?
That could be it. Maybe they're also not the most skilled drivers in the world. Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of drop-offs, especially in the loop where you go on shorter rides. That's certainly a factor.
Okay, so when it comes to a rideshare driver, what insurance are you dealing with in terms of the fight? Does an Uber or Lyft driver have their own insurance and that's what you're battling? Does it get up to company level? Walk us through that.
Yeah, really good question. And everybody has to have their own personal auto insurance, right? I mean, that's mandatory in the state of Illinois. So typically everyone will have one layer of their personal insurance, but then the rideshare company also has several layers or situations where coverage may apply. So the actual company itself will insure the driver.
Does the rideshare driver have to have like a certain kind, like a liability of 500, 300, 500, or can they get any insurance that they can?
Yeah, they would be treated as a normal person. You okay. need to have minimum coverage, which in Illinois is $25,000 of liability coverage. But then on top of that, Uber and Lyft can insure you greater than that.
Which is something that I feel like provides an advantageous situation to someone who is hurt, who needs that financial support. Because it's not just the driver who maybe you liked, who was nice, who did something wrong or messed up, or maybe they were hit, whatever it is, and you don't want to like bankrupt that nice Uber driver for a mistake. But Uber or Lyft, I should say, any rideshare company, we should say, they're going to be helping out paying the insurance. But that also means they're going to fight it too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's such a good point you bring up, because that goes for any auto case, any personal injury case, any work accident for that matter, where if you're going after your company, or in this case, a rideshare driver, you're not going after that person individually most times. Mm-hmm. When there's insurance to back them up, you're going after the insurance company. And I think it's really important for people to understand that.
Okay, so what sorts of policies do they have, like the liabilities? And walk us through a little of the particulars here.
Yeah, so there's...
You provided me a handy sheet, and I don't understand any of it.
So there's basically three layers of coverage, or three situations where rideshare companies will cover accidents that are the fault of the actual rideshare driver.
Okay.
The first situation where actually they will not provide coverage is when they're not driving for the rideshare company, right? They might be going to the grocery store, their phone's not on, the app's not on, they're not linked up with the driver, with the passenger, excuse me. And therefore, if you're not really driving for the rideshare company, there's going to be no coverage. That makes sense. Right.
So if I get hit by a rideshare driver as a cyclist, but they weren't in their normal routes, or they weren't activated, or however they determine what that line is, that's a case against their individual insurance.
Exactly correct. Just because you see maybe an Uber or Lyft sticker on the back of their car doesn't necessarily mean that the rideshare company is going to insure that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two other situations where there's $50,000 in coverage on the second situation, mm-hmm. where somebody is on the app, the phone is on, the app is turned on. Let's make up an example where maybe you're driving down to the Air and Water show as mm-hmm. an Uber driver, and you haven't quite clicked in yet. You're not, you want to go make sure you're by Navy Pier.
You're like
not
on
yet.
Your commute to get routes.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So Uber will cover you because the app is on and because technically they're close to driving or picking up a passenger, but they're not engaged with anybody yet. So there's $50,000 per individual, $100,000 per accident, meaning if there were more than one passenger that's injured, there's going to be $100,000 in coverage.
Okay.
And then the magic insurance policy that we're always looking for, hoping for, Is $1 million in coverage when there is an engagement, right? So you look on your phone, and when it says that Jimmy is 6 minutes away from picking you up,
he's been hired at that point.
Exactly. So he is on his way. He is driving on behalf of a rideshare company. You're waiting for him. Either that situation, or you're actually in the car, or I should say, somebody else is in the car as a passenger. And if it's that person's fault, if it's that driver's fault, then Uber will and Lyft will cover up to $1 million.
Is determining which one of those three scenarios easy simply because the technology pretty much outlines where it is? Or do you notice that the rideshare companies try and fight what level of coverage they're supposed to give?
Yeah, as you can imagine, there's always a little bit of a fight. The cool thing is there is great technology, and they can click on the app and see and get the metadata and find out exactly where their driver was and what they were doing at a certain time. Mm-hmm. The problem is, when you see a police report, it might say the accident took place at 9:28. Well, we know that the police officer usually does not witness the accident. So
right.
It's kind of a subjective time that gets put down. So there is a fight, but as an insurance company, you always want to err on the side of insuring your people.
So you have to kind of reverse engineer the crash and figure out the exact time and go through those details.
Exactly. It might come down to speaking to witnesses or getting footage from a nearby restaurant or establishment or a red light camera, something to that effect. But we can usually reverse engineer it and figure it out. And if it's close, we're obviously going to make the argument that you better insure your individual.
All right. We're halfway through with Michael Kopsek. We got to take a break for the news. 847-807-8695. Obviously, anything involving a rideshare incident, Michael's your guy. He seems to dive into this specifically as something he can provide. Also, maybe a good idea just to put in your phone right now in the contacts, 847-807-8695. Put in Michael Kopsek and put like rideshare, because then when it happens, and God forbid it doesn't, but if it did, you already have that phone number ready to go. We'll continue our conversation after the news here on WGN. All right, John Hansen here. Let's get legal. I never get over the Aaron Waters show. Me and Michael Kopsek, who's here, lawyer, personal injury lawyer, just like looking out the window as we're chatting about golf and they're in formation. I don't know if it was the Thunderbirds or what, as they are probably flying back to Gary. That might actually signal the end of the Aaron Waters show. They're usually one of the last acts to go, and they go back to Gary, Indiana. Oh, what a cool day to be down here. I'm glad you got to see one. You finally saw a plane, Mike. You've been so focused on our interview.
Yeah, I'm regretting moving out of the city when it's days like this.
Yeah, there's a couple times where that happens. All right, Michael Kopsek, personal injury lawyer from Lake Bluff, now up in Lake Bluff, living up there. And you were in big firms before. Now you're doing your own thing. We were talking about rideshare accidents and the injuries that can come from that, and the different limits or the different insurance levels and why a rideshare would activate one or the other, depending on what the driver was doing. How soon after something like this happens, if you're a cyclist and you were hit by a rideshare driver, or you were in the back seat and something happens, I mean, is getting you on the phone sooner rather than later a good thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can always encourage the injured party, if possible, or a family member to make the phone call. We want to get people signed up as quickly as possible, because once we represent you, we start sending letters, we start conducting our investigation, and we're not allowed to do that until we've got your signature on paper. So you got to call the attorneys, because they know what to look for, and I could not encourage that more.
Okay, so maybe we broaden this out for any accident you're in, including rideshare. What are the first couple things that you should be thinking obviously, if you're severely hurt, that's number one. Take care of that. Let's say you're able to walk around, or someone in part of the party is. What are the first things that should be happening?
Yeah, you should be conducting an investigation. And you said it yourself. It's very difficult to have the frame of mind to start investigating when you're hurt. Maybe an ambulance is even coming. But maybe you find yourself in a car of somebody else or a loved one, God forbid, who got hurt. You can start conducting a little investigation. We've got video cameras, and we got the best tools on our cell phone. Start taking pictures. Start taking videos. Start taking voice memos. Say, I was driving northbound on X Street when this person turned left into me. He drives a whatever he drives. Mm-hmm. His license plate is whatever his, right? So you can just start getting evidence and really kind of circling the wagons with anything you could possibly grab. It's a lot easier to take what a client has given you from the day of or the day after versus re-engineering, 4 or 5 months after. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to start putting pieces of the case together.
Well, witnesses are there right then and there, and then they're gone. I mean, like, if you have the ability to do so and you're not, you know, you're physically okay in that moment, or again, someone else is hurt and you're able to do it. I mean, should you be opening up the notes app on your phone and start writing down people's names and numbers? Hey, would you maybe be able to talk about this? I mean, should that all happen right away?
Without question. If you have the mindset to do that, I would strongly encourage you to do so. If you'll allow me, I've got a,
yeah.
had a case not so long ago where we ended up finding a witness from the incident who advised us while we're speaking of ride shares, that somebody had gotten out of the back seat of the car and that the witness saw a passenger leave the back seat of the at-fault vehicle. And if I hadn't spoken to that witness, I wouldn't have known that that person was even involved in the case. And I put two and two together to realize that person drove a ride share car. So what we thought was a minimum policy turned out to be $1 million in coverage, and we were able to get a much, much, much higher settlement because that witness saw something that we didn't know about from the police report.
I want to make sure I understand that. So there was an accident. You had a client. They had been hit by a vehicle.
Yeah, they were pedestrian.
Okay. Yep. And there was a witness who remembered that someone had gotten out of the backseat of the car, probably someone who was like, I'm not dealing with this today, right? Which I'm not trying to fault anyone, although you should probably stay there if you're in the backseat of a car and at least till the police come to give a statement.
Right.
Don't want to advise running away. It wasn't your fault, but like, you're a witness. That's important. And since you had that little testimony, you were able to reverse engineer and know that that person was acting as an Uber or Lyft driver, a rideshare driver, we should just say, at that moment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would also not advise leaving the scene of an accident, yeah. But maybe that person had some skeletons in the closet or something. You never know.
Right.
But they left, and we were fortunate enough that the witness saw that happen. And that's a red flag, right? Nobody's riding in the back seat of a car unless they're most typically a passenger in a rideshare.
We probably shouldn't skip this step. I mean, you should be calling 911 pretty quickly, right?
Yes, 911 first and foremost. Get the first responders there, most importantly for your health, of course, and well-being, but also to get a police officer there so they can start their investigation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think sometimes, and then people will often wonder like, oh, it was like a little fender bender, or I was on a bike and I was hit, but everything kind of seems fine. That can be troublesome if everything seems fine at first, and then the injury kind of shows itself maybe more severely later. That's a problem too, right?
Absolutely. That's why you have to get on the phone with an attorney right away. What might be considered as, you know, back or neck pain can turn into something more serious. I have a client right now who I thought I had a very small case with some neck pain and back pain. Turned out after an MRI, he ended up getting a discectomy and a fusion surgery. So, you know, that type of thing happens all the time where you treat, you can't get any answers, you're not getting any relief, and all of a sudden you have a surgery or two down the road. So I would advise people, even if they think their case is small, it may not end up being that small down the road. So.
Should, even if you have any doubt, should someone go get it checked out medically as soon as possible as well? I mean, sometimes you don't feel in that moment like it is, but maybe the next day if you do, okay, do it quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. And insurance companies are so quick to judge the timeline of the treatment, right? I mean, I never want to give medical advice or force a client to go to a medical facility or a hospital if they don't have to, of course. But if you're feeling something, you should go get checked out. If you take a week off or 2 weeks off, the insurance company is going to say, hey, you must not have been that hurt. If you don't go to the hospital or you don't see a doctor the day after, we're not going to pay you for the what you're claiming are your injuries.
Okay. When you investigate, I mean, because that's probably a lot of what you do, right, is try and reverse engineer, find some things. Are you looking at where the accident happened, kind of eyeing if there's any cameras? I mean, we have more cameras, Ring cameras out there now than ever before. And if you don't have a good lawyer looking at that stuff, they're going to miss it.
Yeah, 100%. I kind of consider myself old school in that way, where I will always drive down to the scene. I'll get the intersection. I'll go down there as soon as I can, no matter how far away it is. I'll walk the streets. I'll drive my car. Don't tell anyone, but sometimes I'll take videos while I'm driving, but really quickly,
safely
as possible. But I try to gather any and all information and really put myself in the scene and in the position that my client or the at fault party was in, so I could better understand it. And that really helps me down the road.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you heard the news about how you might be, Uber is going to start testing out, I think in Chicago, the ability to tape record or audio record conversations that happen in the car. It's kind of up to you if you want to do it or not. Is that a bad thing to do?
Oh, gosh. I can't imagine that could help your case. It could probably hurt it. If there's conversations about what's happening or kind of as the situation unfolds, I always try to tell my clients to, you know, run your communication through your attorney, because we always know how that could affect a trial down the road, what's admissible or even what's discoverable in the litigation process. So it certainly could be a little issue, I imagine, yeah. But I would tell you to maybe keep your thoughts to yourself.
Yeah, well, I mean, and also, I know a lot of rideshare drivers have cameras in the car. If they know they're at fault and they want to deliver, I mean, like, that's important stuff too. Are you able to, with the right pressure, be able to get access to some of that footage?
Yeah, and those are always specific questions that we ask in discovery. So for requests to produce, we'll say produce any dash cam videos if you have them, produce any and all photographs, slides, videos, etc., that the driver may have, that the rideshare company might have access to. Those are all things that we're going to get definitely in litigation, but it's oftentimes things that the insurance company may shield when we're trying to settle a case where there's no subpoena, there's no court power to really force that to happen. So we try to put pressure on them at first, and if they don't want to budge on a reasonable settlement, we're going to get it eventually.
Right, yeah. And that's why timing's probably important, right?
Yeah.
The sooner that someone gets a letter from you in your office saying you need to produce this, that also, I imagine, comes with the implication of you cannot destroy this evidence.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we want to sign people up. One of the first letters I send is a spoliation letter, a preservation of evidence letter. Yeah, so a spoliation of evidence, right? If you have, let's say, surveillance footage or basically any evidence of what we are alleging happens and you destroy it, that's actually a separate cause of action. It's a separate allegation you can make to get damages that way. But really, I'm not as concerned from a damages perspective. I'm just concerned about getting the evidence. And like I said, that's the very first thing that I do, because evidence has a way of disappearing over time,
yeah.
Especially with the more severe and serious a cases, the more difficult it is to get that evidence and hang on to it.
For sure. Talking with Michael Kopsick here, 847-807-8695 is how you can reach him. Enter it on your contacts right now. Michael Kopsick, K-O-P-S-I-C-K. Did I spell that right, Michael?
You did.
Okay,
you
very
did.
Good.
Thank
I don't
you.
Want to get that wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
You can put in there rideshare or personal injury, anything to remember it, because in these moments, you're not going to remember that. 847-807-8695. More after this on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association on WGN. WGN, a few more minutes with Michael Kopsick, personal injury lawyer. What website do you want people going to, by the way, Michael?
At www.law-mwk.com.
Say that one more time. Law-mwk.com. All right, very good. And the phone number is 847-807-8695. Okay, if I'm in an accident that involves a CTA bus driver, a cab driver, a Metro train, the CTA, something like that, where they are an employee, is that the same as an Uber driver or a Lyft driver?
So that's what legislators are pushing for right
okay.
now. That's what plaintiffs' attorneys are pushing for. We want them all to be considered what is referred to in the legal world as common carriers, right? Basically, professional drivers.
Truck drivers,
cab drivers, CTA, any company that their prime business is getting people from A to B.
And what would that mean if they were a common carrier?
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's a little bit of a nerdy legal nuance, but it's really exciting for plaintiffs' attorneys. If we can get the law to recognize them as common carriers, then essentially we'll have an easier time at trial beating them.
Why?
Because the basic elements of a negligence case, the first element is duty. And if you or I were driving to the Air and Water Show, we would have a duty to drive as a reasonable person would, to make reasonable decisions. And that's a fair standard, a fair duty.
Oh, like me and you were just driving as normal folks.
Exactly.
Okay, there's a, you know, you should be safe, you should be that, but you're an average Joe or an average John.
Yeah.
Only so much can be expected of you.
Exactly. People make mistakes, but you are a licensed driver. You got to be watching where you're going.
Right.
We have to hold common carriers to a higher duty, and they're they're held to a duty of the highest degree of care.
Because they've been trained.
Exactly. They've been trained. That's how they make their living. Their job every single day is to take people and get them from A to B, but also to do it safely. So we have to hold those people to a higher standard. And that's exactly what the law is pushing Uber drivers and Lyft drivers to be, common carriers. We want to hold them to a high standard because we trust them with our safety and our lives.
So as of right now, a rideshare driver is held to the same standard as you or I just driving around.
Exactly.
Even though that is their job.
Right.
So this is a proposed bill. Has it passed either of the houses yet?
No, it hasn't. There's been some revisions in the Illinois House and Senate. It's been kind of bouncing back and forth. For those people who want to check it out, it's Illinois House Bill 2231, and it's all about the Common Carrier Act, and it's trying to get these companies to really tighten up. And like I said, it'll help us. It'll help prove our case because we'll be able to prove it easier if there's a higher standard to hold them to. It might actually end up costing a little bit more money for ride shares if this really takes.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So there is a negative side in that. And some drivers would say, okay, but now if our liability has to be X, Y, or Z, now this is going to get passed on to the consumer.
Exactly. Right. And maybe insurance costs will go up, premiums will go up, and therefore costs of defense will go up if this goes to litigation. But, you know, we want to be able to win these cases, and we don't think that if you have 4,000 rides under your belt as a rideshare driver, that you're just a normal person who should be acting reasonably. You need to help people get there safely.
In fairness to these rideshare drivers, though, there's this whole distinction of whether they're employees or not. And I feel like if you're going to hold rideshare drivers to a common carrier status, then maybe accompanying that, it would make sense to put them at the level of an employee, because now you've kind of like raised the profile of what this job is. And then maybe that should come with some training, right? Maybe that should. That doesn't happen right now. So one could make the argument that these two things concurrently happening would make total sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the rideshare companies are going to do everything they can to distance themselves from the employee. They want them to be independent contractors. Uber and Lyft don't want to be brought in as named defendants. You know, all that makes sense. They want separation, but it really doesn't make any sense because what started off as kind of a side hustle, if you will, mm-hmm. is now a lot of people's career.
100%.
And it's a great thing because it provides a lot of great access for people to make money and make money quickly. But you have to have some repercussions if you do something wrong on the road.
Yeah, I see. I get why drivers wouldn't want that common carrier level, but I also see why they want health benefits, right? Like, I mean, these are two arguments that are strong, and if they were to happen in tandem, I think that would make a lot of sense for people. Okay, we're almost out of time. Mike, I told you to go by fast.
Yes, it did.
One whole hour went by fast. Michael Kopsik, law-mwk.com, 847-807-8695. I want to end with this thought. You said that something like common carrier would make it easier for plaintiffs to win. And not, you're not just talking about you, you're talking about your clients. Like,
yeah.
This is going to pay off people to get what they deserve after something terrible happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is unfortunate. The longer that time goes by, we see that the insurance policies are less and less. And oftentimes, they're not enough to pay for what exactly happened to the client and the injuries and the damages that they're suffering. So kind of the more we push these laws and the more that the law changes for the better, it really only affects the client. And that's who we're after. That's who we want to have a good experience and get what they deserve.
People call you often on their worst day or one of their worst days. That's never a call you want to receive. But I imagine that when you get a client, you are not a big firm. You are Michael Kopsik. You are there for that person in that moment.
Yeah, without question. And that's really what kind of tugs at my heartstrings of being an attorney. I want to be there for that person. And I'm not just that person's attorney. We oftentimes become friends and family. And I consider my clients and their family part of my extensive family. Absolutely.
847-807-8695. Mike, it was good to meet you, my friend.
Thank you so much. Yeah, pleasure to meet you and pleasure to be here. Thanks to the whole team.
We got to golf soon sometime.
Let's do it.
Well, you're a scratch golfer.
Well, we got to negotiate strokes.
Yeah.
We got to negotiate strokes.
Oh, no, I'm not playing that game. All for fun. All right, that's going to do it for Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association.